Aloha, this is Dr. Leah DeMasco. Welcome to Telemedicine Talks, where we bring the real stories of healthcare transformation right to your ears.
I'm Phoebe, a policy and compliance expert, helping guide doctors through all the telemedicine unknowns.
So let's get ready. From burnout to breakthrough, this is Real Talk on making telemedicine work for you.
Most physicians are great at making money, but terrible at growing it. You work 60-hour weeks while your savings sit in accounts earning basically nothing. NERP changes this. It's algorithmic trading designed specifically for busy professionals who don't have time to watch markets. AI-powered strategies that work while you're seeing patients. No day trading, no guesswork, just systematic wealth building designed for people with demanding careers. Built for physicians who want their money working as hard as they do. Check out start.nurp.com/doctors. That's start.nurp.com/doctors to learn more. NERP is a paid sponsor of this episode. All trading carries risk and results vary. So do your own research. This isn't financial advice.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Telemedicine Talks. Hey, I'm super stoked to have this guest here. This is Dr. Mike Wu-Ming. Mike, thank you for joining. So for those that don't know Mike, well, one, you should know, but he is, gosh, a man of many talents. He started up Bootstrap MD. He's a physician entrepreneur, a practice coach, telemedicine doctor, you name it. And Mike, you know, served as my mentor for a while too. So, hey, welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Mike, thank you so much. Oh, and also for those that want to know, you know, trying to create a podcast and looking for a podcast network, Mike also runs the podcast network that we are on that we've shared so many guests with, and we've had sister podcasts on that too. Man, you're everywhere.
Never sleep.
Yeah, don't sleep really that much, but that's okay. Just plug me back into the caffeine. I'm good to go.
Yeah, no, my Amazon subscription for my caffeine drinks, and it just comes all the time. It's like, I was done.
There you go. Yeah.
But hey, Mike, so what have you been up to? You know, you're everywhere, right? AKA, so forth and so on. And when I first met you and when I first started my telemedicine journey, you were already established, right? You were a coach, you had brick and mortar businesses, but then you also went into the telemedicine side. You know, you were practicing telemedicine somewhat, but then you went all in, got your licenses, so forth and so on. Yeah. Can you just update what you've done on the telemedicine side and how that's been for you?
Yeah. So I'm family medicine trained, worked for a group for about 5 years, got out of medicine actually for about 7 or 8 years, started a software company, went back in to keep my Filipino mom happy. And tried to work for locum tenens for like 30 minutes. And then I realized I can do this again. I had a hard time with bosses. That's probably been the story of all my life. I love medicine, but I didn't like the way the medicine kind of treats us. And so I started out my own practice. I live here in San Diego. I grew up in Sacramento, by the way, Phoebe.
Oh.
And I was in San Diego, started a weight loss and eventually became a med spa. Now I call it a longevity practice now. Built it up to 3 locations. Lots of employees, and said, you know, I'm not busy enough. I want to do telemedicine now. But the original impetus was to start doing telemedicine for my own practice, which I still am in the throes of actually trying to do that. But in the standpoint of getting licenses, is realize, oh, this can be kind of costly. I need to actually make money doing this. And I started working with a startup in my space, the longevity space, where I'm a medical director, and I enjoy that. And also work for a couple other companies. And I tell my wife that if telemedicine was around when I was just got out of residency, I probably wouldn't have left medicine because I just enjoy it. I just like working at home. I like the flexibility of it. Yeah, I have bosses. Usually when they get mad, I usually get finely worded emails. If you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But for the most part, I've enjoyed it. I enjoy, obviously, the async part is very flexible. But even with the sync part, it's like getting to meet people who I'm their only primary doctor, which sounds kind of scary, but I'm like their first communication to like, hey, I don't really see a doctor, but hey, you know, I had this guy who wanted to start on hormone replacement therapy, and I go, you know what? I think that we need like a sleep test first, because you've got like all this, the signs of sleep apnea. And then, you know, just being that, oh, maybe I introduced something to that. So I enjoy that. Just like as anything, you're going to have your ups and your downs. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm building up my coaching more. I still work with Peter Kim over at Momentum MD.
Right.
I just finished a call just 2 minutes ago with them. And I'm building my consulting. I've really enjoyed my one-on-one clients that I've been working with, helping doctors who have their own practice, really kind of forging my way into more cash-based practices. So having been doing this for like 10 plus years, I found out what's wrong and where the leaving money on the table. And since physicians don't really have a lot of business background at all, I've been finding that rewarding. So I've been working with clients who've got, you know, practices, or most of them are established already, but they're like, they're stuck. They're stuck like a one or two person doctor team, and they don't know how to grow. And if they leave their practice, they lose their revenue. And so my sweet spot is helping them to like not do that, to build in services that can pay on its own to keep the business running. So that's what I've been doing.
That is a mouthful. That's
it's a lot.
That was like Monday.
That was just Monday.
Right, right.
I have the whole Tuesday.
Now, a couple of questions coming up from what you said, right? So it's interesting that you say that, hey, you know, if this was around when you started medicine, you probably would have loved medicine a little bit more, right? Now, nowadays, we do have people coming straight out of residency, newly formed doctors. They're just got their long coat, maybe just out of the plastic bag, right? Mm-hmm. Do you recommend going straight into telemedicine from that? Or, you know, I found a lot of times when I practiced too, a lot of my brick and mortar practice, right, set me up to practice telemedicine a little bit better for the knowledge base, the confidence, so forth and so on. What's your thoughts on that? You know, I wouldn't say baby doctors, but yeah, baby doctors coming straight out.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm an old guy and I don't know how much longer I'm even practicing medicine, to be honest with you, maybe 5-10 years. And I don't know what medicine is going to look like afterwards. I could say when I was in residency and we were getting abused in 100 plus hours, I know you trained in the military as well. And then when they put in like restrictions that they couldn't work more than 80 hours, there were some of my colleagues saying, oh, it's not like how we practice medicine when we were shoveling snow and had to get to the hospital and everything like that. And you kind of same the way as well. They need to kind of pay their dues. They need to like see patients live. And I get that part of it. But with AI these days and all these changes that's going on in medicine, and now, you know, a telemedicine company for every single ailment is specialized in that.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting very specialized. And I don't know what the right answer is, because I don't know what medicine is going to look like. I think there will always obviously be a component where there's a face-to-face thing. There's obviously procedures that you have to do face-to-face. But the way that it's going, you know, my specialty family medicine is now overtaken by nurse practitioners and physicians.
Oh man, absolutely, so right.
The generalist doesn't exist pretty much in medicine these days. Although I don't consider myself a primary care. I don't do primary care anymore. Now I'm a longevity medicine specialist. But it's the way medicine is going. I can't say that, you know, because I don't know where medicine is headed towards.
Well, a lot of times too, you know, practicing, right? The telemedicine docs are the primary care docs, right?
Yeah.
Just because that's the only touch point the patient has, right? You know, we can't force people to go in and actually sign up for a PCP. And that's, I think, the beauty of it. You were just talking about it, that you're able to touch these people that really just kind of lost to care, right? You know, I was just on a platform and they're like, yeah, I just don't have the time. I work two shifts, blah, blah, blah. I can't do it. And please help me out. So I think that's great. And another question too. You know, now you're coaching these docs and you're coaching these practices and building that in. How has your experience in telemedicine kind of changed how you're coaching these? Are you building telemedicine into kind of your advice, into your practice as kind of another alternative way to, you know, gain income and basically spread your footprint?
Yeah, I mean, just like even in my own practice, we're moving towards a hybrid model.
Yeah.
Here. Like, for example, I had a patient, I was up in Orange County, and this lady came in and I guess there was some miscommunication. I was ready to do a procedure that I do. I do a pellet procedure on there. But her thing was, I just want you to go over my labs. Huh. And then I'm ready to make a decision. And I did the same thing. You came in, you drove to one of my offices. I'm on the sixth floor of an 8-story building. You got up on the elevator. You got checked in. You filled out the form. You waited in. We sat down. And then you said, okay, well, I'm not ready. Okay. Well, we just spent a lot of time and money doing this when it could have been a 5-minute Zoom call or consultation, right?
Yeah.
So in a lot of medicine was like that, right? We drove people to take their time and got out of work to do all these things. And why are we doing this? And it's inefficient. And so why do we subject our patients to it? Why do we subject ourselves to doing that? But of course, I'm in an industry where fax machine is still used, right?
It just won't stop. All this technology and, you know, even just licensing or even getting a malpractice. What's your fax number? I had to get an e-digital fax number.
I have a fax number.
Yeah, I don't even know what it is, man.
I have one.
Yeah. I know it's somewhere in like my Apple phone, you know, in the wallet app where I pull it up. I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, we just need to keep the client, Phoebe. That's what we're trying to do.
Look, it's because we have to do e-prescription. That's why there has to be a fax, because some pharmacies don't have API capabilities.
Yep.
The more you know.
Now, what's been the hardest part? Or the most challenging part from incorporating kind of this practice? Again, you were established really well for doing yourself and you started incorporating telemedicine. Coming from talking to other people that want to do this, what would be the considerations or the one thing that you need to look out for while you start incorporating your telemedicine to your own practice?
Oh, is my employees listening? It's the people I have to deal with. No, my staff is amazing and I pride myself. I don't have a lot of turnover. My office manager has been with me since the beginning, 2012, I think is when we opened our
first loop.
But as an entrepreneur, you want to go, go, go.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you have people that you have to say, stop. And you have to like, okay, here's what I want to implement. Here's like the 5 different things I want to do. Here's what I want to promote. Here's what we need to work on in there. And then disseminating that to the staff. And I have some staff who are tech savvy. You know, I've got a nurse who's got, I think she's got 40,000 followers on Instagram already. And, you know,
really?
Yeah, it's very savvy. And then I have one medical assistant who I think is still on one of those flip phones. And so we just know, hey, you know, let's call her Jane. Jane doesn't use Slack. Jane doesn't really check her email. Jane is amazing because she has great rapport with all of her patients and all of her patients love her. And, but yeah, for me, it's just like the human part of it. Of course, you know, I use a lot of AI now these days and that's kind of streamlined it, but it's getting that out and just getting the word out. Cause I have 3 locations and some are 50 or 60 miles apart. So I have one in Orange County, one in Riverside County.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Cause I am crazy.
It's just close enough.
Right.
Yeah. Long story short, I bought a practice.
Got it.
Which basically handed me in my lap and then we've converted it over.
Yeah.
So there are definitely some challenges. So I guess the human element is one. It's in my area. Obviously, there's a lot of regulations. There's med spas in general have a lot of competition. I don't have just physician practices. I've got nurses one the same and they keep opening up and differentiating yourselves and all those kinds of fun stuff that keeps you on your toes. And you know, I have a marketing background, so I'm used to that. But yeah, those things cost time and money, but it makes life interesting. Let's put it that way.
That's one way to put it. Busy.
Yeah. I work with a lot of med spas. And I don't know, they're my favorite. I've like slowly moved away from like insurance and got more towards kind of your neck of the woods, which is just like the longevity stuff. So I have like a really random question, just because it's top of mind. But what are your thoughts about peptides? And like all what's going on in peptides right now.
Well, gosh, we don't have an hour and a half. Here's the thing.
Since I gotcha, I had to ask.
Peptides. I love peptides. I use them myself. My wife has used. So we've had peptides for BPC-157. We use it for tissue, but my wife, she uses it for her stomach reflux. And it really helps on that. BPC-157, TB-500, Sermorelin. These are all some great things. The problem is, so I play pickleball. That's kind of my thing. I'm in that demographic. So I play pickleball. My pickleball coach sells peptides.
What? Is your pickleball coach medical?
No. No.
Perfect. Just, good to know.
In Hawaii. I think actually he's like Filipino. There you go.
Shoot. Yeah.
In his mid-20s. I sell peptides. However, I can't say I sell peptides in some areas. If I sell peptides, I get in trouble. If he sells it, no, he's just a kid.
Why is that? Is it tied to your medical license?
No, well, because it's the gray market. Like, you know, right. I'm in telemedicine. We do a lot of GLP-1s. I had one patient, she says, I asked her if she was on tirzepatide. She's like, I think so. Is it green? I bought it on TikTok.
Okay.
Not sure. So it's in the gray market, but they can go and you can go on TikTok and Instagram and you can buy these off the gray market. And it says research only. But yeah, there are some things, you know, the latest one, Retatrutide, is coming out. I can't mention that or talk about that. Got to be careful about those kind of things. We had BPC-157. It was taken away from us. So, and it always changes there. But the thing is, the public is demanding it. And the public, for the most part, when I see them, it's like, hey, you know what? I've been on it, but I got it from my CrossFit trainer. And I kind of want to see a doctor, you know, just kind of bless me. And that's why we get that. But it's already marketed to the public and people are already using it.
Yeah. A great point. And kind of pitfalls that we see in telemedicine, right? Because, you know, these companies, right, they're not medical, they're not doctors, right? And they approach these doctors and they're like, hey, can you be the doctor for us? And in their eyes, they can't get in trouble because they can't, right? The medical board can't touch them because they don't have a medical license, right? And I'm thinking that's where you're saying that you're going to get in trouble, right? Because that's who is going to come down on you. And so these doctors unwillingly, trustingly are like, hey, okay, yeah, I'll be the face of it. I'll be your guy. You know what I mean? And yeah, they're probably going to get paid a little handsomely, right? And that's always a draw. But then that's it, right? They don't realize that now you're on the hook and it's not the company that's going to get hit, right? If something's going to go down, it's your license that's going to go down. So definitely keep a watch out. It's very ironic to me that's the case. Yeah, it's the people that actually know they should be having the background to do it that is getting trouble for these things.
Yeah, you all physicians and providers have a lot more to lose because you have your license. It's also just been really interesting. They're doing like really aggressive marketing and it's kind of these affiliate marketing programs. So yeah, anybody nowadays can sell a peptide. And it's kind of like the blind leading the blind. They don't know what they don't know. And a lot of these marketing companies are just like, well, my buddy made $10 million doing this. And they don't realize they'll eventually have some risk. I mean, the one CEO who was selling, you know, the research only peptides who just got sent to jail time and like pretty significant fine. I think it's coming down. But no, interestingly enough, I don't do peptides because I'm too nervous that everything that's out there is from the gray market. So I'm waiting until I'm really trying to do it the right way.
Yeah, it all comes from China. So
it probably has some COVID attached to it that we hear from bats anyways.
That's the problem is I get in trouble.
Right. Well, and now too, right, with the recommendation from the committee, right, a lot of people are like, oh, green light. I think that's a fallacy too. It's not a green light. It's just a recommendation. Right now, people are running with it.
Right.
So another kind of thing, because, you know, Phoebe, we were just talking about that. We're hearing that too. It's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. The committee said it's good. So we're going to do it. Game on. But it's not really. Actually, I just got this notice from South. It was one of the Carolinas. I think it's North or South, right? There's only two. But I think South. But yeah, they put out a notice to the doctors that, yeah, they don't allow any non-FDA medication to be prescribed in the state, including peptides. Including the ones that were agreed upon the committee. As long as it's non-FDA, that's it. They drew a very strict line with it and said, yeah, this is not allowed. You're not allowed to bring it into the state, prescribed in the state. They even put telemedicine doctors prescribing it into the state. So they are very specific about that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, they put out that notice, but, you know, probably not a lot of their doctors are seeing that, right?
Yeah. It was just by the way, you know, I was doom scrolling and I was like, oh, maybe I'll go check my emails. And I was like, oh, right, what's this? Right.
You'll find out the hard way.
Yeah.
The one email Leo read.
It was because I was like, oh, my brain's mush from all this Instagram. Let me check my email.
My emails.
Well, hey, running on time, closing up. But the one question we ask from everybody before we close out is, hey, you know, think about your intern self, right? That was what, like only 7-10 years ago? Think about it. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, man. You look great.
Okay.
Think about it. You know, day one, walking out, brand new long coat. What would you tell your intern self? What is the one piece of advice? Anything. It doesn't even have to be medically related.
There's this thing called Bitcoin that's going to come.
Did you see Back to the Future? Didn't you see that?
I say this is because I've been coaching for a while, and I remember when Bitcoin was under $200, and my wife still bugs me to this day, and I know it's gone down since. But still, I knew when it was $100. No, besides that question, just go with your gut. You know, every time things have gone wrong, I've had things go great. I've had things go bad in my life with partners. And it's always because I didn't go with my gut. At the end of the day, you need to bet on yourself and have the confidence to bet on yourself. And that one thing, it's like, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to work. And if I would have, I think that would, and again, I have no regrets in my life, but it was just like on things that I'm doing and I'm not doing. It's always going with our gut and just have a sixth sense of what's going to work and what's not. And then buy Bitcoin at $100 and then sell it when it goes to $100,000.
That was a joke back then too, right? Like, that's not doing anything. Digital money. Oh, Phoebe, is anything else that we got?
No, I mean, I just think like you're such a wealth of knowledge. I mean, just like Leo was saying, I think me and Leo have been in this phase separately, but also kind of like on the same timeline where it's like, we got into the entrepreneurship stuff. We did our own thing. We got really deep into consulting, helping all these people launch practices. And now, like, I want my own med spa. So, you know, it's like, I think all of us could really benefit from somebody who's been there, done that. I mean, you've grown large organizations and you've partnered with some pretty massive med spas. So, yeah, if anybody is looking to get into this space, like, I think you're definitely the right person to talk to. I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah,
I would go to bootstrap.com. That's my plug. Sorry, guys.
That's your plug. Is that your private consulting business too? Or
yeah.
Coaching business?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can email me, tell me what you're interested in. And then if it sounds like a fit, I do a strategy session. I just named it. I love the name. I call it my strategy session.
Yeah. You just made it up right now?
No, earlier. It's called Second Opinion.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I got a lot of these doctors and they're having trouble in business. And I'm calling it the Second Opinion Strategy Session.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'm on it now. It's right there. It's the Second Opinion. It's cool. How do you sign up for like coaching? Book the Second Opinion.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to put in your credit card to go.
I'm putting it in. I'm like literally doing that. Well, hey, Mike, thank you for joining us. It's been an honor. So check him out, Bootstrap MD. Also, if there's any questions for us on the Telemedicine Talks site, there's always Phoebe at telemedicinetalks.com and Leo at telemedicinetalks.com. So thank you, everybody, for joining, and see you again next time. Thanks for joining us on Telemedicine Talks. Now go out there, take a breath, and unplug just for a bit.
And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button so you're always in the loop about our latest episodes.
Ahoy ho, and we'll see you all next time.
This podcast is about insights and inspiration, not prescriptions or legal recommendations. So be sure to talk with your own advisors and the right experts before you make any big moves.